Welcome to Keeping the Ball on the Ground with our sponsors, Black Rooster Peri Peri, get yourself done, and William Hill, who have got an offer on just now. If you join today, bet £10 and you get a free £30 bet. No bad, it.
I'm joining.
Thank God, wee Slaney's not here. Need a rest, my head's fucking pounding. In his place, we've got another strawberry blonde madman, Midge Gardine. How you doing, mate? All right?
No bad, mate. It's just blonde now, mate.
Nah.
Auburn?
Auburn, we'll get you Auburn. Kev, what's happening, mate? How are you?
Mate, I'm alright, I'm good to be back. It's been a long, I don't even know how long it's been, 2 or 3 weeks?
2 or 3 weeks,
aye. Aye, so it's
you look like you've had a good summer.
Ah, fuck. Some weather out in that Cumbernauld, I tell you.
You been playing darts?
No, golf. I've just played golf every Wednesday, every Saturday, and absolute shite. one good hole, 5 bad holes. So, no, golf. Doing a few dinners, speaking, talking nonsense.
Enjoying it.
People must think I'm funny. I don't know if they got the wrong guy, but I seem to be enjoying it. But no, it's good. But I'm glad to be back doing this. Obviously missing Slaney today, but
he's been on holiday with wee Billy.
A wee Billy Colin.
He's got him in the kids' club, he said.
Aye. Is it 18 to 30 or is it kids go free?
you listened to the podcast, Mitch, didn't you, on the way up to Dingwall for Dundee?
They're brilliant, the keeper's going. That A9 journey is obviously no great. So I need to listen to yous, but it's good, like, just nice to hear Big Kev's horrible accent, like, up close and personal.
How can a guy up north, seriously, slag Max and...
What is worse, the Dingwall or a Stunat?
Got to be that, surely.
Dingwall's no
imagine
great.
Him with a drink and him trying to talk to your conversation
with you. He's from Dundee, he's not from Dingwall.
You know,
Dundee, yeah.
That's how bad it is. I didn't even know where he was from.
Do you know what, but I was buzzing off, your missus put an Instagram post up last night, and she put on the hashtags, absolutely class.
She's annoying me, man. She's taking this too far, do you know what I mean? But she even got me a Father's Day card saying, to the absolutely class dad. Boys are talking nonsense.
Brilliant. Hey, Midge, promoted this year, mate. With the County boys, buzzing?
Yeah, good season, aye. Obviously, after getting relegated last year, it wasn't a great. So to bounce back first time was brilliant.
Where'd you go?
Where the chairman treated with a wee Magaluf trip, so...
Brilliant,
it was brilliant, it was off winning games.
That's what you miss, isn't it?
I know, I used to go to Magaluf. Every time we finished the season, I would hit Magaluf for a week.
Everybody.
Take the boys and...
What was that, Sunderland?
I take my pals to Schnarr, we'd all go together, right. Pretend we took golf clubs ways. We're going on a golfing trip. And then when I got married about 7 years ago, I hadn't been to Magaluf for 7 years. And I said to my wife, I want to go to Magaluf for my stag do. She went, that's all right. 2 days that I'll never ever get back again in my life. You know what I mean? It was just insane. But Magaluf's the place.
Oh,
was it all you go?
Aye, everyone apart for a couple.
Name and shame. Name him, went
Kenny van der Veg, you know, the big Dutch boy.
He's not a waste, he's not missed.
He was up in rugby or something, and wee boy Harry Payton, he was going home to his family in Canada.
Oh, he's Canadian. Canada. Did the managers go?
Nah, they never went. I think they went to Portugal, they had the golfing trip in Portugal, but they never golfed once, I don't think.
How are they two? Because obviously they're joint managers, what's that like?
It's good, everybody always asks me like, who's the actual manager, but it's both of them. The both of them say there's peace on the training pitch, the both of them take their own parts and that, so like the two of them are the managers and it obviously works.
Okay, if you wouldn't listen to one manager, how would you deal with two?
I mean, to be fair, sometimes two's better because if you fall out with one, you go to the other one. You play them off each other. He's a cunt, isn't he?
That's what I do with my missus and my girlfriend.
right.
there was a wee bit of needle we used in Dundee United as well, wasn't there?
There was, just
what was that all about?
I think it wasn't even...
A couple of things that they said in the press.
Just the press stuff, like, we never said anything in the press. And obviously, there was a couple of things for their side. They were going to do this and going to do that. And it was just nice to like get over the line, and then it was nice to come out and say what I wanted to say.
Who were you kidding?
Just like, it was a couple of
get lads. Get a wee drink before you say.
Obviously, he's went
dying. I think Robbie Nielsen's obviously done brilliant in that, but he just like in the press every week, like, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then Big Cal Butcher, who's my actual mate for Dundee United, he annoyed me. I've not told him yet, he'll find out now. On his Instagram and that, we're going to do this and that. No, he's our knack, because we're going to win the league, yeah. But I thought they would have came up with. I kind of wanted them to come up, but just so I can get a trip home to Dundee.
Because obviously your former club as well. We'll come to that in a bit. But Kev, you ever in a title race?
Sunderland. We were thinking for the title. We're only going to get the title, but we were like, no, so we were actually second place. It was between us and Reading to get second, and then Reading eventually got too many points, and then we were guaranteed to finish third, but there was never any like banter. It ended up getting to the point where Reading needed a point to guarantee promotion and we needed a point to guarantee playoffs, and the phone calls were going that day, boys, surely we can organise a 0-0.
Brilliant. So,
and obviously the score was like, but they went 1-0 up and I'm like, fucking shout the goalkeeper, I thought it was supposed to be 0-0. So we duly got a goal 5 minutes to go and it was 1-1 and everybody was quids in, and we got playoffs, they got promoted. Brilliant. And everybody was happy.
But Magaluf, how was it? Good?
It was brilliant. Just what you expect, just all the lads were all hyper, lying about the pool, I got a cracking tan.
Did you behave?
I was behaving, eh. It was good, a couple of mad things, obviously.
But Big Fontaine, he's the guitar man, isn't he?
He's the man, I've been living with him up the road, so he's been keeping me going. Just he's cracking at the food as well, at the dinners. I've not cooked one meal up there. Cracking, steak, chicken, whatever it is, and then he'll just... You'll hear a snooze and then he'll just get the guitar out and he'll just rattle off 5-6 tunes.
Fancy that, moving up to the old Dingwall, Kevin?
No, I've moved far enough north to Stranraer, Glasgow, with it to move it to Dingwall. Where is Dingwall? I don't even know where Dingwall is.
15 miles by Inverness. So all the lads stay in Inverness and we're just like...
Is it a big live in Inverness and Ross County, I take it?
Nah. It's more of a friendly, it's like a friendly.
It's like the Highland Games, isn't it?
Aye. Is it? Aye. Who's tossing his cable?
And by the way, they're on a fortune up there. That's why they all got there.
Aye, but do they know? They're on a good career path as well. Is it no way? Like you hit your career, you get paid for fortunes after chairman Roy, and then once you decide to finish, you give your job. Now,
but you know the job? No, the job's selling Herbalife.
Yeah, Lee Mayer, man, honestly.
Lee Mayer.
Oh, Lee Mayer's been on, come on, give him a bit.
Honestly, every week on Instagram, Lee man, you need to get involved in this. You need to get, you might come watch, see the videos. Just on a cruise shit. Thank you, Herbalife. But I'm going to give him a tip, did he?
Maybe LinkedIn or some social media platform. Hi, KFC, retire that. Maybe I have a business opportunity for you. How's that? No fucking way am I selling.
Is this what he's came with?
I'll sell Leaf, but no Herbalife.
I'm actually going to text him more and get on it, though.
Doesn't he? He's of kingdom. Well done. Testimonial year as well. The wee man's getting a testimonial. Ten years at Ross County.
I did a wee bit of research, obviously, to see. I was like, who the fuck spends 10 years at Ross County? But I see you've staggered over about three or four periods.
Left.
This is shite. I'm away. You knew where your bread was buttered, so you came back before. Four times, you may have come back to the old
Grass
tutorial.
Is the always greener, is it?
But buzzing, mate, 10 years.
Yeah, brilliant. Aye, so
you're a legend up there, aren't you?
A wee bit of a legend, won a few trophies and that, and obviously got the records good. And that, the goals and
appearances. So, as a top goal scorer, you beat Higgy as well, which I was buzzing.
Beat Sean Higgins, I was absolutely buzzing with that. He sent me a nice message when I did beat it, to be fair.
Ah, fair play.
But that one and the appearances one, so it's nice.
Who are you getting in for the testimonial?
I was thinking like a open goal select.
Mate,
oh, wow.
Ross County via open goal select.
Oh, we'd
probably beat you to it.
You, Kev, Slaney,
Frank McAvaney.
Slaney in one line, you and the other. I mean, Frankie up top. No, Derek just dialing in the midfield. Who can we
Kenny
play
Brannigan.
Big Kenny B.
Brannigan. Oh, big Kenny we'll B. get Kenny Brannigan and man mark you.
Mark Guidi in goals.
Brilliant. Right, we'll sort that, mate. Much of a head to him. Big man's no cheap, mate.
Friends of the show, mate. We date cheap. What a crowd we're getting for an open goal select.
That's what I'm thinking. 100%,
mate.
That's a bigger draw than Barcelona.
But have they got internet? Have people seen open goal up there? Have they got internet?
Do we need to dial up? Do we need to get a different connection?
How many years were you at Sunderland?
8, from 17 to 26.
You know, thinking about staying for 2 years to get your test.
Are you playing the first team for 10 years? Only playing the first team for about a month.
First team, what, 5 years?
Probably 2000. About 6 years.
Right.
You never ever crosses your mind like testimonial. I think certain players fit that testimonial role. Do you know what I mean? You never look at him and think, oh, he's been there for 15 years, but he's never going to get a testimonial. It's certain individuals, but no, testimonials. I think, have you ever been involved in a testimonial?
I have, we used to get taken with Celtic, like we were the jobbies that got sent down to play the testimonials. You would just tell all your mates that you played for Celtic, but it was only a testimonial, mate. But you played them, didn't you?
No, I didn't think I did.
I played in Steve McPhail's at Car. Remember Steve McPhail played at Car?
I played against him youth team, Sunderland.
He was a good player, wasn't he? Wee Gordon Strachan took his name. I got a minute, mate.
A minute? What did you get, a good gaff?
No, everyone else got one.
Why does everybody want it? It's always the gifts, isn't it?
Mate, Charlie McGrew got a widescreen telly. He'd been on loan, came back for 2 minutes, he was back. He got a widescreen telly at Roy Keane's and a big watch for Alan Shearer's. That was the one that Tommy says to him, it's Pelly's next week. It's a, it gives a three-piece couch. A three-piece suite.
Right, Paul Lawson talks about that one.
He got it as well, didn't he?
The Shearer one. Got a watch in that.
I think Paul Lawson that played in Tony Adams and got a, an amazing gift as well, didn't he?
Well, you'll get like a bottle of Jägermeister or something at mine.
Shit in your shoe. Right, we'll start with your youth team days, Midge. Obviously, I came through at Dundee. Old Sean took us up at Dundee with Ross Wallace, Mark Fowler and them. Great times, wasn't it?
Aye, it was brilliant. Aye, just like, as long as he would only ever take five or six of in. Mm-hmm. This old guy, he was about 70, wasn't he?
Mate, you used to like stand on his head on the top of a hill and all, didn't
he? Aye, it's crazy.
Just
like,
scribble.
Best.
Oh, he was aye, a fit as a fiddler,
so
mate.
Fit, aye, 2 feet, left foot, right
so
foot.
So, see, when you were at Dundee, would you use, was Jockey, Fingley,
Jockey Scott?
Jockey Scott,
no, he was
there.
No, we were at Celtic.
Oh, you're saying Dundee there?
We stayed in Dundee, but he was a scout in Dundee for Celtic, and he would come and pick you up.
It's because your accents, I can't quite pick you up.
But he was brilliant. Just used to, he would only take five or six in because he was all about the individual and all that. And it was brilliant. Like we'd just do like long passing and stuff. Like
so technique feet, stuff, wasn't
just
it?
Just technique okay. Stuff.
Midge is one of the best. He's probably the best two-footed player I've seen.
Aye.
We've seen him kick with. He's frightening with 2 feet.
Not bad with 2 feet.
Like. That sounds ignorant, but I don't think I've ever seen you. I probably played against you. I can't even remember what I did last week. So I'm not going to remember what I did when I played football. But no, it's like I don't know.
You never had any coaching when you were young, did you?
No, never. Because I lived in Stranraer. We didn't hear like a league, we only had like aye. Four teams. Schnorr's probably as rural as Ross County, but there's probably more on offer at Ross County. We would have to travel to Ayr just to get a game, a proper match of football where somebody could maybe watch you. So you couldn't actually drive every week to Ayr to train because it was just too much for your mum and dad to take you back and forth. So you just turned up every Saturday. So I never.
So how did you practice? Just
in the street.
In the farms.
Just in the street with your mates, kicking a ball against walls and putting goal jumpers down for goalposts. Proper old school, but that's where that I struggled. Yeah. Like Sunderland, when I went to Sunderland, that's what nearly never got me my career because I didn't know how to do the training. Mm. I used to come in and think, oh fucking hell, I can't keep, you know, keep ball sessions. I was the guy that was in the middle doing like a pre-season every morning.
Every
I couldn't keep the ball, and then just one day it just clicked and it changed and things worked out. But it's tough. But when you've got somebody like this old guy obviously helping you, like it does help. Mm-hmm. Any help as a kid.
But
helps.
We were training with guys like Ross Wallace and Fozzie, and they were brutal with us, mate, weren't they?
So like Fozzie was like 2-3 years
Mark
older, Ross Wallace a year older, but we'd always do like a wee game. It was just like three
possession
sides.
Possession game,
aye. But like you would be what 12, 13, me and Ross are 16, and Ross Wallace would just like kick shit out of him.
Brilliant,
just like elbows, forearms, everything.
Yeah, but that's how you learn.
But
it was
good
great for us,
it
mate.
It was brilliant, aye.
Good experiences. You take them on with you, mm-hmm. And then when you get to that age, you want to do it to the young team.
Aye.
I think my first week Wallace stuck his head on somebody.
He's wild, mate. He's a great guy,
Wallace, but he could lose
happened,
it.
But it was in like a wee game. I think they had a wee scuffle and that, and he just got up and nutted
just
him.
Just nutted
he?
Him. I was like 12 and like that. What the?
He was an angry guy, Ross.
But then it took you to Stygian, good said, when you went through to Celtic. Obviously, again, great coaches. Tommy Burns, Jim McAnally, William McStay. Again, great. I'll never forget it, mate, right? Midge was obviously 2 years older than me, but I'd known him for years. And I was coming through for full time for my first day and got dropped off at my digs and Tommy Burns was like, I'll pick you up for your first day and take you into Barryfield. So all the way into Barryfield, he's like, you'll love it here. It's so professional with everything properly. The boys are all ready for training. Everything's done right. So Tommy takes us into the dressing room where we're all standing. Midge and Gary Fraser are naked on the treatment bed, naked wrestling with each other after Tommy's just gave me that big speech. But fair play to Tommy, just sat
come in, he's just like that, wasn't he?
He just took me right back out and he's like, I forget what you just seen there. But it was wild days there, wasn't it?
It was brilliant. Like, good dressing, all the young lads and that coming through. And then when yous came in as well, it was brilliant for yous. Like,
the last share of dressing
the day, it was like me, Charlie McGrew, Aidan. Just like
Rocco,
like people that just it was all like it was a piss taking that, but it was serious when it was
serious.
Oh,
when you trained,
serious.
It was serious, but in the dressing rooms, that mate, it was wild.
I think the coaches, you know, like every youth team dressing rooms, they're all the same, different levels of darkness. I think the coaches ever really get wind of what really goes on.
I think our coaches encouraged it, mate. Like, see, being a character in that, like Tommy loved it, didn't he?
Loved that.
They loved you being a character, mate.
That word, didn't it? That word character.
Like, you could do anything, you would get in trouble, but then after it, you would, like, hell laugh at you, wouldn't it? But even, like, Tommy, what a coach, eh? Good for you, Tommy Burns.
Aye, brilliant, aye. Just made you feel like you were the best player in the world. He probably made everybody else feel like that as well, but that was just his thing, that's what he was good at. Just used to, like, before games and that. You know, he's not going to get near you. If you play the way you could play, he's not going to get near you, and then you're going to win in 4-5-0. But just like at Celtic, you were always drilled in. Obviously, it was about learning stuff, but it was about winning as well, wasn't
it? Maybe 3v3s.
Even under 18s and that. the 3v3s in the 18 yard box.
Mate, they were brutal, weren't
Tommy
they?
Tommy would take part in them as well.
slide tackle, you know, eh, Tommy?
He was some baller, but Tommy.
Oh, he was brilliant, mate. He used to Meg you for fun, eh?
Always played for a Meg. Could never get it round the other side, though, and he just 2 foot you.
2 foot you? I always tell the story, though. It would always be a fight, mate, and Willie McStay would be like, oh, calm down, cut us. And Tommy would be like, oh, fight. Brilliant, but first team players at that time as well, Midge. Tell us, Lenny, Sutton, Thompson,
all the top ones.
How were they with you? Because you were a character.
They were good. Like I think all their players were like better with the young boys. But I think they liked the young boy that like gave a bit back. You know, showed that they had a bit about them, and that's what Lenny loved at. That one.
What was your favourite shout? Maybe you would say in the first team, like say, wasn't it all the first team, but like.
Just the ones that knew liked maybe, but
we would be doing the warm up and he would shout, give it the shout.
Just be telling him I'm the best player than that.
He would be doing the warm up. He was only at 17 or something. He'd be like, fucking best player at this club. You're doing a warm up with Tom. Like Tom, remember Sutton and that looking
Sutton,
at
him. Who's this? Sweet dick, man. Honestly, who's this wee dick?
But you would get him a bit, wouldn't you? Because remember with Lenny doing the boots.
Yeah, that was one of your first weeks at as well,
first
wasn't it? So you used to do the boots. It was like the old Celtic Park dressing room. Remember that? All the boots would be lined up before the tunnel. And Lenny's walking by to leave. Can't remember who they were playing next day. And I was just like, oh, Lenny, could you come down and check your boots?
Because he used to take about 20 pair of boots, didn't he?
And he also had like one extra, so he'd take like 6 right boots, but 7 left boots. The horrible silver Reebok Kings, remember? Half a tub of Vaseline inside them when you put your hand in. I was just, oh, Lenny, could you come down and check your boots? And he's just, who the fuck are you calling, Lenny? And I've just done that. Shot myself a wee bit, just done, well, what's your name? So any chance you come down and check your fucking boots? And he just strolled down, I was shite myself. He just done that to me. Well done, wee man. You got a bit of buzz about you. Yeah. Hey, just done that. Their boots are fine. See you tomorrow.
But then, on the other hand, other boys gave him a bit, and he's big beats.
Aye, but Craig Beatty came in one day, Lenny, and it was like kind of before double denim was back in again.
But it wasn't.
And Lenny came in, and it wasn't even like nice. That was like up your stonewashed white double denim. He's come in, and Craig Beatty's fucking slaughtered him for his gear. Lenny's not even said nothing. He's just stared him out. And he's just walked into the dressing room, and Beatty was buzzing. He with this new track, he came in, goes out to train, come back in. Beats gets a shower and that, gets changed, puts his gear on. He's got 2 holes in the knees and 2 holes in the elbows. He had to take it off. I think he left Greet in it, out in his wee green Corsa.
So, see, when you got to the first team, what were you like with the young boys? Would you give them a hard time?
Aye, I think there's a boy actually thinking of me the new on Twitter, man, for Kilmarnock, saying that Kevin Kyle's a fanny, man. Had me cleaning his boots, his trainers, his shin pads, everything, his wash bag, his Louis Vuitton. Even his Louis Vuitton wash bag. Like, who the fuck? I've never had a Louis Vuitton wash bag in my life.
I'd love to see
that. I got the Nivea one with the Christmas pack.
Pierre Cardin.
Aye, Pierre Cardin.
Are you the same with the young boys now at County?
It's just like you. I've seen you speaking about it before. It's like changed days. Like you're lucky to get boys cleaning your boots. Like nowadays, like whereas before you'd done everything.
But we never even got. Boys that come on the thing, but we never got a bonus at Christmas.
But nowadays,
actually, we did.
The lads get 100 quid at Christmas, 100 quid at the end of the season or whatever. But we got nothing. It was just like a free for all. 2-3 lads cleaning 40 pair of boots, and then you'd leave every day. But Grab Douglas has covered your face in boot polish. Brilliant. Back to the digs.
What was the best? Bonus you got, remember now?
Gav McCann, did
good player midfielder.
I'm into Everton. He says to me one night, he says, Kevin, I'm not going to give you a bonus, I'm just going to take you out for the night. And I was like, fucking get in there. So he just took me to Sunderland, man.
Just
me and him and one other mate, and Kevin Gaban, and just got leathered. Just absolutely steaming.
I love that.
And then he picked me up, no, spent a penny, and then picked me up next day and took me to training, made sure I got in time and everything. And that was the best gift I ever got for that.
How was Zinedine Coban? Good player.
Big Zinedine Coban, man.
I played against him at Huddersfield, mate. He was brilliant.
Great guy. One of the nicest guys I've ever come across in football. He got a bit of stick at Sunderland, but he had a good career. And like his media career is obviously a wee bit boring, but we'll hear that. We'll talk about that another day. Big Zinedine Coban. I never heard that one before.
Obviously, Midge, you never made it to Celtic in the first team, but why do you think that was good players at the time, weren't
there? There was good players. To be fair, probably a bit of fault myself, like my attitude and stuff, because I actually like broke through with Strachan. Took me a bit of pre-season, man of the match against Leeds and that. And then I was on the bench the first few games and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, I was just a clown, mate. Like, done a couple of things at training.
I remember he used to set the... Sorry to keep telling you stories about you, but I remember he used to set, like, the first team would set, like, cones up for the warm-up and that. And like, obviously, us young boys would stay at the back and just go through the cones and... He would run out before training even start and just 2 foot all the cones that the coaches would put. I was like, what is he doing?
I got done one day, I think it was Alan Thompson, Because like Strachan and Gary Pendry, they used to come up, set up the stuff, but go back to Parkhead, and then we would all be just starting the warm up, and then they would come. So there was one day I didn't think they were there yet. I remember the big floodlights had the big rugby soft padding bits around them. Aye. I can't remember Tom or some says to me, go and run into that then. 100-yard sprint, mate. I've just ran into it. And I've just went bang, bounced back off it, and I just turned around, Strachan's just standing there like that, and I'm just thinking, what am I doing, man?
Did he not pull you in a couple of times and say?
It's just once a week, wee man. Like this is Celtic, like it's not fucking circus. Like love that one.
Talking to you now. Why do you think certain young players did daft things? Because I did daft things when I was younger, and I look back now and I think, like, could I have conducted myself a wee bit better? Would that have changed the path of my career? And I think my career was my career, and it was what it was. I'm proud of it. But would it have been different? Why is it that there's that one or two players in each youth team that they
I used to think about him, mate. Why is he doing that? I loved to laugh, mate, but I would never do shit that he would do, do you know what I mean?
But after it as well, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I'm training with the first team and that. But just, I don't know if it was because, like Sutton or Tomo would say it to you, so, like, oh, do you need to kind of impress them? And the one, like, you know, like, the possession boxes of four games before training, like, 20 boys are all lined up and that, and I'm, like, running 2 foot in them and that before we start the boxes and that.
Tell the one about when the first team were doing a gym session.
Oh, the mask, the naked So, obviously, the first team used to go up, do their gym, we had to stand and wait outside. I was like, I'm not waiting, man. Like, went over to the Celtic shop, bought a Neil Lennon mask. Remember, and you had that blonde hair. Just got all the gear off naked, Neil Lennon mask on. Just walked in with the swagger. What am I doing, man? Just thought nobody could see me because I had a mask on.
They're all stopped.
Like, ah, what? Just jump up on the peel-up bar. Good at peel-ups because I'm only about 60 kilos. Just started battering at peel-ups saying, I'm the best player in here. And they're just like, what? But they were all laughing at Lennon, that took it
brilliant. They loved that, though, didn't they?
Big Jim Henry was not happy. Sports science.
But do you think that did? Is that, do you think that's what stopped you doing it?
Like, no stuff like that, because that was a laugh, but I don't know, just like my attitude with some stuff and that, maybe, like, when we went on that pre-season trip, played against Leeds and that, it was brilliant, but then when we came back, just like a couple of stupid things and that I'd done, and then, like, Strachan was like, I think you should go out on loan.
Do you regret all that, or was it good?
The funny stuff was good, but I regret, like, daft stuff, like, doing that, running into the rugby, hanging that when Strachan was there. Like, stupid stuff, which probably Strachan was just, because he didn't like young boys anyway. He hated young boys on the bench and that. If I didn't do stuff like that, like, you never know, but like Big Man says, I've had a no bad career, so I'm kind of proud of the
I remember
stuff.
I got my first flat, and before, the day I got it, Tommy Byrne came up to me and there's no chance that you and Gardiner are sharing a flat again. That was the first thing he says to me. That was my I thought you were going to say, oh, well done getting your flat. He's like, you and Gardine are not together in that.
Is that the one across with Hamilton
Racecourse? Hamilton Racecourse, huh? Great. But he did end up moving in.
You didn't tell the manager that.
Your digs were. Can we tell your dig story?
Digs was alright. It was like me and Ross Wallace, Paul Lawson, Lawson moved
to slide tackle that wee boy now.
So it was like me, Ross Wallace, and Gary Fraser, who we spoke about earlier. And one year, so Connor, the kid was only like four. It was like same as you. And his Christmas presents were up the stairs, and we're boarding the digs one day. Gary Fraser just goes up the stairs. This one looks like a DVD. Just rips open the kid's, like, Christmas present. We're doing stairwalks watching Stuart Little. The Ma and Da come back, Liz and Jim, who were brilliant lads. They came back, like, the wrapping papers on the floor, and we were watching Stuart Little in the living room.
I don't know how they put up with you.
Oh, it's incredible. But Gary Fraser ended up getting chucked out. Used to play, like, football with the wee man. He was only four, and Gary Fraser's 2 foot in him and that. And then the wee man's greeting and that, and then we're like, oh, it's okay, and then he's happy and again. Fraser's like 2 foot in him again.
Oh, digs are brilliant to see. I loved a big guy, Sandy Wood. You'll tell a story about Sandy Wood in a bit. But we lived an old couple, and the food was terrible, mate. Like, they went to the most basic supermarket, but their dining room was right on the back garden, so there was like a sliding door on at the back garden. So we'd always sit in the dining room for our dinner, and they'd sit in the living room, which was joined on, but they were old, so they couldn't really know what was going on. So every night without fail, patio door open, chicken Kiev, fuck you, over the back of the garden fence, sausages over the back of the garden fence, and we'd phone a spicy chicken pizza. See if they ever got that fence removed, mate. It'd have been look like an island all day, honestly, the amount of food that we chucked to her. Obviously, Sandy would be told about. This story will blow. I've told it on the live tenant shows, but on you go, tell it.
We're playing Aberdeen, you've got a final, wasn't it? Just the same again, 16, 17, like. I don't know why you think poo, like, shit's so funny when you're younger, but I was obviously been around for it a wee bit. But we're playing Aberdeen, quarter final of the Youth Cup, doing it bottom pitch at Barfield. So we'll go down to check the pitch and that, see what footwear we're going to wear, because we're all professional and that. We're doing checking the pitch. I'm like, fucking hell, busting for a shite. It's a good 5 minute walk back up to Barfield. So I think it was like Aidan or Charles or something. Stay on a penalty spot, tenner a heed. Lads, is everybody in? Tenner a heed. So there's like 16 of it in the squad. We're all down there, like, aye, tenner a heed, blah, blah. Sandy Wood, big goalie for Montrose.
Tightest man in the world. Man.
Aye, solid. He's like, Midge, pleased in a day, like a shit there and that. So I've like wandered over, squatted over, big poo on the penalty spot. Made 150 quid. The only person that didn't pay us was the big goalie.
Big man shuffling it off, innit?
It was we, remember we Fat George with a baldy head? Oh, he came down.
He cleaned it?
Raging, aye. And he cleaned it with, you know, like the selfie that the big pack of water's in. Ripping all the water, he picked it up with that. But Sandy Wood was fuming it with that. That's my domain.
That's my domain. He was hopeless as well. Tell him that. He was hopeless, wasn't he?
Oh, he's rotten. Really, really good at driving his Ford Escort when he power steering. Mine. His biceps were huge, man. Just really like that.
Obviously, talking about Lenny there, got the Celtic job in the summer while we were off. You know, Midge, obviously, how do you think he'll do?
Yeah, he's obviously, like, he's done well at Hibs as well, done well at Celtic before. So, I think, just obviously, because it looks like it's going to be his team, they're all banging on about this 10 in a row. Maybe if you bring a new manager in, like, he maybe needs time to gel or whatever. So, I don't know. I think he'll obviously do well. He's done well when he's been there. Mm-hmm. So, all the best of him. I think he'll do all right.
I think he'll get rid of a few players and get a few of his own in.
I think he might need to, aye, because there's a few the right
a few
back.
A few are needing it, they don't want to be honest.
I think he needs to be freshening up.
I think a few are needing it. I think he needs some of his players in there.
Yeah.
So that, because at this moment in time, that's not his team. So I think if Lenny gets a few of his players in the odd yellow girl, then obviously they'll have hopefully a successful season. But it's a tough one because he's in there and asked to do a job in a short time, which he's done. He's won the title,
well.
And he get nothing but grief for it. And Rangers are saying that if he gets the Celtic job, he'll be Rangers' best signing. But that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? If he goes out and signs some really good players, some cracking players, then Who knows what happens? It's going to be interesting next season.
The Rangers will come even better again next season as well. So could be a good.
Yeah, obviously, we trained him in that he is demanding, isn't he? Do you think players nowadays find that tough?
Aye, like, I think he spoke about it as well. Yeah. And you see now, you kind of talk to it, like the way we got spoke to when we were younger. But you loved it though. I think it always just shows that the coach cares. Like if he'd stop, he'd always say it, if I stop shouting at you, then I don't care about you anymore.
What do you think's changed over the years that how we've went from like old school, older school where you absolutely got the piss ripped out of you, you got abused to the point that you would want to cry, but you couldn't cry, but you loved it, to now where you can't see anything. Because for the fear of somebody going and reporting you to like a higher body or a higher power, it's how has that changed?
Did it happen, no?
So Ricky Spazier, like when he was my youth team manager, and some of the things he did to us and said to me personally, a lesser man would just have gave up and walked away and thought, no, I'm not dealing with this. This guy's too much. But it got the best out of me. It got the best out of everybody else. He would never change it. And I think I look back and I think, right, if I'm going to be a coach or a manager in the future, I'll take a bit for Ricky, I'll take a bit for Mick McCarthy, I'll take a bit for Peter Reid, I'll take a bit for the Jet. I'll not take anything for the Coventry. And I'll certainly not take anything for Mark Roberts. But my point being is that they all had a good trait about them.
Aye.
And that's how you got respect. And when you had respect, that's when you performed, because you wanted to do well for your manager.
Because we had Kenny McDowell. Remember Kenny in the reserves?
Great guy,
but he would slaughter you.
Absolutely slaughter.
And he used to say to you, if you can't handle me shouting at you, how are you going to handle 60,000 people shouting at you?
It's true though.
You know what I mean?
Very, very true.
Remember he used to do that? That's what stands you in good stead, like.
But then it was a laugh as well. You could get both with Kenny, wasn't it? Remember the Doug?
Doug was brilliant. Doug or Seal or whatever. Just everybody stand in a circle. Just like keep it up. But like if somebody put it, like you'd always shout in to help. And if he couldn't keep up, it's like they're.
But you would do that when he's shooting.
Not
a shot,
not a shot, aye. And if you're Doug or
still
Seal,
did that at Rangers.
Aye, did he? I loved it.
He would do like a keep ball session and he would go to the radio to see what the result was.
Not a shot, yeah.
If you lost for your life, that was you in the middle. You had to be a Doug or a Seal or whatever
but
it was.
But even like the first team came down to him, I remember Tomo got Doug in the middle and like this is a guy playing the Champions League in front and his face just was beating at me. He couldn't do anything, and it just, Kenny says even stuff like this, it'll toughen you up. But as you say, so see young, right, go for it.
Alan Thompson. It was one of my first training sessions with the first team. So I was Strachan and Pendry, you know they used to take all their stuff down in that terrible Kia Sportage Jeep. So anyway, I'm outside, packing all the gear. I didn't drive at the time. So good clip to Butterfield. So anyway, Tom was outside and he's Bentley or something. He's like, wee man, run in and get your boots. I'll take you doing the training. I'm like, brilliant, Tom. Thank you so much. So I go and get some boots, comes outside. Bentley's gone. I'm like, fucking hell, it's 25 past. Then I've got 5 minutes. I just tore it down, mate. In my boots and training gear. Tore it down, made it by about a minute. I was in the boxes, mate, the full warm up. I couldn't go to the middle because I was so fucked, honestly. Tom was just like, ah, give me the pack, like, they ones that, no looking at me.
Stitching
you
up.
Like, you're right, wee man. You're fucking job.
I remember we were working in Didier Agat. Okay, hello, okay. We were working in, you had a post in Didier Agat, and it was Big Charlie. He says to Big Charlie, if you put one of the big jackets on and sit in the sauna for 20 minutes, I'll let you drive my Porsche. So big stupid Charlie, of course, sitting there, jacket on, and he's fucking sweating, fucking driving the Bentley, purely driving his Porsche with Kelly Park. Brilliant, wasn't it? Great days.
Tom and Sutter used to, after training, used to put you in the goal, take a penalty into you. Right, wee man, if you save this, I'll let you drive the Bentley. You're in the golf. Brilliant. I've saved this, man. They just used to smash the ball as far away as they can over the bar and just say, unlucky wee man, you didn't save it, but go and get my fucking ball, will you?
First team players were ruthless. I remember when I was in the first team, and I was only in it a wee while, and I was driving to training one day, and I was stuck in the traffic, and I thought, oh God, I've only got like 3 miles, 5 miles worth of fuel. There's a petrol station 3 miles away. I thought, I'll make it. It's even the truck gets stuck in the traffic. Couldn't you go up the hill? Because the fuel tank must have been sitting where I couldn't get it. So I thought, right, who stays near me that's coming to train? So Jason Matateel and Phil Barber says, Babsy, I've run out of fuel on the 690. Could you bring like a wee jerry can of fuel? I know, Bob, big man. Him and Jason Matateel, right? Fucking drove right past me. I'm standing here on the 690 in the middle of traffic, and they're like, all right, come on.
Was Matateel not thick as any?
Oh, man, Matateel, he's a great guy.
Is he funny?
I don't know whether he means to be thick, but I think we were going to a Christmas night out and we were in the airport. And Jimmy White walked in, right, into the lounge, and Jason Matt said, oh, yeah, there's Jimmy White. Jimmy, 180.
He's not even read that.
He thought he played darts, man.
Oh, that's tremendous. Man. Obviously, left Celtic, went to Dundee United, played under Jackie McNamara after Peter Houston left. How was Jackie?
It was good before Jackie. Like, I think I played 38 games or something with Peter Houston. It was good.
Hoosty's a good guy, isn't he?
Aye, he's good. Aye, he was really good. And then Jackie came in. It was a weird one. Hoosty just came in, like, with about 8 games to go or something, and just says, I'm leaving. And then Jackie came in. I was buzzing.
Because you obviously was you were a young boy at Celtic.
Aye, at Celtic. And I thought he was brilliant. He was one of my favourite players in that. I thought, brilliant. And then when he came in, he said the same to me. Like, I'm buzzing that you're hearing that. And I don't know. Like, I trained well and stuff. I don't know what, I must have shot and shoot Celtic or something. I've definitely done something because he just didn't
see it. Do you remember like the carry on that you had at Celtic maybe?
I don't know because when he came in he was buzzing, or when we spoke like, and he would say, oh, it's just no working out here. He's like, but me and Sid were buzzing when we came in and you were hearing that. But it just didn't make sense. And then, I don't know, he's like pulled me over one Friday, going to play the morrow, you're getting your chance against Aberdeen at home it was. So I went in to see him after training. I've just says, listen, like, I'm a winger, like, I need 4 or 5 games, like, try and get a bit of consistency. You'll get that. Took me off, I think we're 1-0 up against Aberdeen. Took me off after 60 minutes, never played again.
And that was you done?
Just a weird one.
Did being for Dundee, did playing for your hometown team, was that hard? Because I found it hard at Dundee.
Ah, it's hard, just because, like, Dundee's negative, innit? Like, loads of people just want to put you down in that, but I think the both sets of fans are good. The fans are brilliant to me now, Dundee United fans. They just always say, like, I done well my first season, I never got a chance afterwards. But just going back, like, Simon Donnelly was brilliant. He was brilliant with me. He would always come and talk to me and that. Because I got phased out. He put me to the 20s, eh? Stevie Campbell, Davey Bowman, brilliant with me. Trained every day and stuff. It was brilliant, but I just got to the stage where you'd go and see Jackie. He hated confrontation, eh? He hated, like, 1v1. He would always say Darren Jackson and sitting with him. And Jacko was alright to be fair, but he just hated one-on-one. I would ask him what today to get in the team, and it would just be you, just keep doing what you're doing and that.
How hard is that when you're training with the youth team and the reserves and stuff like that?
It wasn't great, but just like I said, Stevie Campbell and Davey Bowman were brilliant. They kept us going and stuff, it was brilliant, and eventually got away on the last day of the window.
You ever had that, Kev? You've been at a club and kind of been frozen out?
At Coventry, but that was probably down to my own fault because I went on loan to Wolves, Mick McCarthy took me on loan to Wolves, and while I was at Wolves, I slaughtered the Coventry fans and I slaughtered the Coventry team and just gave them a right hard time out because it was absolutely shite, so I was just telling the truth. So when I came back that pre-season, I still had this belief in my head that I could get back at the team and start performing like I'd hoped to perform. It was maybe 2 years too late, but I still had this feeling I could do it. But the manager, I was like doing the training and stuff, and I never get picked for the first team. I thought, okay, I'll get picked for the Carling Cup game on the Tuesday night. Like every dog and duck player gets picked for that. I mean, I didn't get picked for that. I thought, there's something seriously going on here. You know what I mean? Yeah. I thought, I'm doing all right in training. Even the boys are like, why are you not getting a game? And then obviously Chris Coleman pulled me and just said, look, you're not my type of player, then I'll not be picking you.
So what did you try and force a move?
I think they were trying to force me out, but I wanted the car, so I hung tight.
Are you the same? You're right in the how you
just
do
got to, at the end of the day, the club's employed you.
Because they'll get rid of you quick enough.
They'll get rid of me quick enough. So I ended up picking a move to Hartlepool because I had my wee boy up in the North East, so that was ideal for me. I went and played 15 games there, stuck it out to Christmas, and eventually I got a move in January. So it's tough because regardless of how you feel about the club or how you think personally, you still want to play. You still want to go out there and try and do your best. I mean, as a footballer, when you're not playing on a Saturday afternoon, it's pretty crap. Yeah, so that's the only time I've ever kind of experienced that.
Right, teammates at United, Johnny Russell. How good was he?
He was brilliant.
Was he?
He was brilliant, even in training and that. He had didn't really see that much on when he, but in training he had the best chop ever. He'd have like lads diving in, like left, right and centre. And then he would just lift over the goalie's head and that. But brilliant, like, such a hard worker as well. Like, it's not just, like, the skill or talent. He worked his balls off, like...
That, you were obviously in competition with him as well. Did that make it tough to get in the team? It was good players, though, weren't
they? Aye, it was great players. It was, like, there was Johnny Russell, Stuart Armstrong, Ryan Dow, Gary Mackay-Stevens. Like, it was a good team, like... And Hoosty was good. Like, he was a good coach and that. And then Jackie obviously came in, played that 4-2-3-1. Like, it was brilliant. It's just that great season. And Nadir Shifty was in as well.
He was excellent, wasn't he?
He was actually, a story about him in pre-season, he was actually rotten.
Was he?
Rotten in pre-season. And to be fair, he was doing that Ramadan.
Right.
So he wasn't like eating and stuff. And would be training. And he was like knackered. He's pouring a bottle of water. He's eating. He's like trying to get a wee tiny bit of water. So he didn't do it properly. We always told him every day. But and then we played Wigan. It was like the last day of pre-season, we played Wigan, he scored a 40-yarder right in the top bin, and then we signed him the next day.
Right.
And then he was brilliant for Dundee United.
Did you see the boys at Armstrong and Mackay, did you know that they would go and play B top players?
You could, like, they lads, definitely. And then Goldie, obviously, Ryan Gold.
Are you surprised he's not done as well as he?
Aye, he was always wanting to go abroad. He was always, like, one of the young lads that wanted to go abroad. And when he first went over, I thought he would, like, scoosh it, like, but... Obviously, it must be hard, like, moving away at that age, like, no family and stuff, but he's obviously been at Hibs, hopefully he can go and kick on now.
Mm-hmm. Have you been in a first team where you've seen a young player come through, Kev, and you think straight away he's got it?
There's been loads. Over the years, I've seen many players, and I think, oh, wow, he'll be the next big thing, and they don't ever quite get there. And you can never, ever put your finger on why did they not get there. Sometimes it's the bright lights. They get attracted to the bright lights too fast because they'll maybe get a wee debut, then they'll enjoy the like the popularity that brings with that when people are, oh, here's me so-and-so, he's brilliant and all that, and then they forget what they're there in the first place for. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. But and then I don't think I've ever been in a team where I've seen a young player that I've thought personally, wow, he's... And they've actually went on and followed through and done it.
And it's usually somebody who isn't as good as them.
And the one maybe at Rangers, Lewis McLeod, didn't they obviously see him in the youth team, but he was a youth team player breaking in because of the situation at Rangers, and I always thought he was the best, whereas some people thought Crawford was the best, or there was another young boy, they thought Mitchell, but to me, Lewis McLeod stood out head and shoulders, but he's went away.
He got a bad injury, didn't he?
Uh-huh. We've not really heard anything about him since, so it's difficult because these players are just like, it doesn't matter whether you're a young player or an older player, you come across things in your career, whether it be an injury, whether it be a personal situation off the park, a lot of factors that hinder that progression to get to where you hope them to get to. Like the boy Turnbull, we're all talking about him now. Me maybe more so than something. So we just hope that he goes on and does what everybody's expecting of him, because obviously he's got potential, he's got bags of it.
Mm-hmm. Was Suter there as well, were you, Mitch?
John Suter, they were young as well. He was just kind of...
Did they come and train with the first team of that year?
They were training with the first team all the time, mate. But what a wee group. They were like Goldie, Andy Robertson signed. Mm-hmm. They would go doing, you know, Magdalene Green.
Yeah.
And just like with a wee five-a-side goal, mate. And just like after training, just play football.
But what the boys never had, they wouldn't even carry on and they wouldn't be doing stupid stuff like...
Nah, to be fair, there was in the dressing room. United dressing was brilliant.
Was it? Who was the main culprits?
It was like... Me, Johnny Russell, Barry Douglas, Mark Miller.
He was mental.
Was just like, he was brilliant as well. He had that great season at Falkirk, signed for Dundee United. Jackie was kind of like the same with me and him, but we went away pre-season to Germany and Marbella. It was 6 a.m, we were getting our flight from Germany to Marbella, and they'd been banging on about him, but his weight, he put on a bit of weight in that. So anyway, in Germany, mate, 9 days in Germany, every morning on the treadmill was Sid doing fat burn and stuff and that. We're at the airport 6 a.m. to get a flight to Malaga. And so we're on this wee sandwich place and that, Mark Miller. No even caring, just if you're going to do it, go and do it quietly. Big extra large Burger King at 6 a.m. And
he brings it
through and sits in the cafe with us, and Jackie and Martin are just sitting there. Jackie and that's just like, sounds like I've had him on the treadmill every day.
But we used to go to Celtic for training and pick him up, and for his breakfast, he had 2 Milky Ways and a Snickers. That'd be his breakfast. But he was talented, wasn't he?
Yeah, good player, man.
Just shows you there's so many out there. Gavin Gunn, I need to ask you about him, mate. Because Johnny Russell told a couple of stories.
Just a good character as well, man. He would just come in and just be like, I'm the best player in here. I don't even know why I'm playing with yous. And like Peter Houston would be standing there just like, Gaffer, why am I playing with these? Aye, that one he picked. Walker, did you see that, have you?
No, you're telling me about that.
Gets past him, he just puts his foot on it, picks it up, and then just like walks off the pitch.
But where did he walk off to?
Up the tunnel.
Aye, up the tunnel at Tannadice.
And just, no, come back out?
Never came back out.
Why?
I don't know. It's my bond, I'm going home.
Games how many minutes play. Were in the game?
So I was in the middle of the game anyway. It was
so did they substitute him off?
I wasn't even there at the time. I think he got sent off for it.
That's
nuts, isn't it? Is that the maddest dressing you've been in?
No, there's been a few mad dressing rooms, like, but that was a good dressing room. But we're all mad in that. John Daly, he was brilliant, but he was like the da. Like, kind of the way I would maybe imagine you to be. He was like the da.
Had a bit of daftness in it, but he knew he'd come the line.
He was brilliant. He liked the laughing at as well, and Sean Dillon, but they were like the das. And we'd play like heady tennis in the dressing room, but you know, the tiles that if you hit it, it all breaks and all that. Mm. We're playing heady tennis one day, just like a wee game and that, and John Daly's came in, raging, just shouting. Fucking stop it, blah blah. Johnny Russell, Barry Douglas, and they'll hit the floor. Pure like shite bags after like getting at the big game and that. And I've just stood up and says, didn't you know we're playing? And they just still stayed on the floor, mate. And I'm just standing there like that, thinking John Daly's about to kill me here.
How would Jackie deal with that dressing room?
He never came near the dressing room. The stage I got to at United when I was training with the young boys for like a month, and Stevie Cameron, that were brilliant. And you go into St Andrews, and the first team dressing room was there, and Jackie McNamara's dressing room was right there. And I just knew he'd be in his, like that, oh no, Midge is going to be coming in soon. And I'd just come in and say, right, Stevie, fix Stevie Campbell, who am I running the show with today? First team or you boys? Because I'm going to be the top man today. I can just imagine Jackie in there like, oh, listen, please don't come in here, guard down.
What about the best dressing you've been in, Kev?
Oh, I don't know.
Hearts?
Hearts was different because we had a lot of foreigners, so they would all talk in their language and probably rip the shite out of Scottish boys, you know what I mean, for one reason or another, but... and then obviously we had a few characters at the Hearts that would get themselves out of trouble and would take the piss out of them. So, but I think every dressing room I was in over my career, there was all daftness there. You just like A United, for example, we trained on a Tuesday night and Thursday night, which was different. The kit man doing there, Alan Kerr, he was fucking brilliant, man. He introduced me to like different music that I've never heard, and we come in and this music would be on, and it was. But they were just young, daft, naive boys playing part-time football and loved it for what it was. Dressing rooms, like, what an upbringing they give you in life.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Because see the stick you take in there, regardless of whether you're the top man or the wee dick that everybody hates, see later in life when people think they can abuse you and it's going to bother you, you're like, you're never going to even...
It's close to what I've heard in the dressing room.
Just like good life experience.
Unbelievable.
It's one of the best things about football.
You miss it, don't you? When you go part time, that you do miss the dressing room. Both played with Scatchell as well. Talking to teammates, how good was he?
Rudy was good. I never knew Rudy was a Hearts legend when I arrived, because he arrived a wee bit later when he's like returned. What a left foot, man. It was like a hammer toe, eh? He could hit the ball so hard. But he was an all-round great guy. That's what I used to think. But he was a pure, pure nice guy. And he was very, like, appreciative of his teammates. because we would help him get the goals that he got, and he would help set up goals. And he was one of the players you would think if we were struggling today, like, oh, come on, Rudy, just pull something out of your hat. And he would. And you're like, oh, that's why. And then you're like, Rudy, and then we'd get him out in the drink and all that. And he didn't drink too much, but he did like a drink. He was.
So you would come out with the boys
now? Oh, definitely. I really was. He was an all-round good pro. Knew the balance, knew when not to cut the line, and also like because of the jet was very old school. Him and Billy Brown, like really old school, and Rudy would sometimes say, "What the fuck are these two guys?" Like, Rudy would come to me to ask me questions about the jet and Billy, and I'm like,
"Explain it to me."
Well, I'll just do things different. Fucking Scottish manager stuff.
That's what he'd say as well at United, because he never like started a lot of games at United, but he'd always come on just the same. Please produce something, like anything for 30 yards, just shoot. But he was great. He was, and I was actually mental because he mixed the like me, Barry Douglas, John.
Oh, did he?
Like,
he kind of pulled a bit
in that. And obviously I was on the bench a good bit under Jackie, so me and Rudy would just sit and just brilliant for a chat.
No,
he would just sit chat. He would always have his trainers on. He wouldn't put his boots on.
What, on the bench?
On the bench, trainers on. He'd go up and warm up on the grass with his trainers and that on.
And then take your boots on when he's going.
He just always reminded me of somebody that was very, very professional. Like, game would finish. I'd be thinking, right, game's finished, I'll get the gear on, I'm in the car, I'm doing the road in 15 minutes, I get
Chinese.
A chinky and then I'm out for a pint, that's why I looked at it. Whereas he would be like, quite happy, stay up to 7 o'clock, do all his interviews, get on the massage table and get rubbed down to his body, couldn't be rubbed anymore, and then just totally stroll out about 7 or 8 o'clock at night and think, like, that's me done.
And warm down in that.
Oh, he would be, right?
You'd be out doing the press outside and Rudy's still stretching, it's like 6 o'clock.
Brilliant. Another unlikely friendship you've got for football is Big Boydie.
Big Chris Boyd.
What was the thing about his suit?
Oh, I was at Kelly. It was just when he kind of started the media work with Sky Sports and that. So, like, he'd always been tracking it every day. He started coming in with the jeans on and the shit flickers and the suit jackets and that. So it was good. Big Craig Sampson was there and we'd always go up to the gym and that. So Craig Sampson's like, Boydie went away. He never went near the gym, did he?
Catty's in the canteen.
Aye. So Sammy's like, go and get that jack on, we'll go up the gym and that. And so I pulled out, I'm like, nah, it's a fucking Hugo Boss, Sammy. Like, can't do anything like that. Anyway, I've got the Kelly training gear on, boom, up, buttoned it up. It fucking made STV news and all that. Fucking up, doing pull ups and all that, man, doing sit ups and all that. Boy, his suit on, goes down, hangs it back up. And then he went to Sky Sports and that, he never heard anything about it. And then I got a phone call off about 6:30 after the news. You fucking wee prick. Wait until I see you in the morning.
Is he a good guy, Big Boy?
Yeah, great guy, yeah. Great guy. Still speak to him like all the time. He's brilliant. Just loves slaughtering me, yeah.
Does he?
Yeah, because he talks, because obviously he's a goal machine.
Because you played in the hole and he played up front of Kelly. This season, we're kind of a wee partnership.
He's scored one goal for Kelly. And that was the season he scored 22 and I set up 18 of them.
Did you, right? Yeah. Brilliant. Remember that time you were at Kelly on the bench, remember?
Nah, I can't remember.
Brilliant. Right, another teammate, obviously, Andrew Robertson, you mentioned him.
Aye.
What a career he's having, eh?
Unbelievable, eh?
Could you see him going that high? Like, obviously, you said you could see Armstrong
win
Champions Leagues.
Aye. See, like, when he very first came in, he was just, like, so raw, and I was just like...
Aye, raw as in what? Like, he couldn't have passed the ball,
like, innit? Aye, like, he could, but I don't know if he was, like, nervous and that, because it was that same trip, that Germany pre-season, and we had Graham Kerry in. Remember Graham Kerry?
Good player,
eh?
Remember?
He was in on trial, and he was brilliant.
Played left-back at the time, Graham,
and he never got signed. But Andy Robertson came in. I actually roomed with him. I was one of the ones, a young boy coming in, put him in my car. I was like, I'll take him. And he was brilliant.
So you were his roommate?
I was his roommate in Germany and that. Aye, and he never gives me any bloody praise for that. Or nothing.
Sure.
But, he was brilliant. And then what? He just like kicked on. It was like week by week, he just like got better and better in training. And that, unbelievable, great professional. And then fucking.
Must be down to where he was in his life, like that tweet, the famous tweet.
Aye.
And he must have just thought when he got that chance to go a game with Dundee, Queen's Park, then Dundee United, he must just have thought, I need to
This is it.
And he's just.
And he
incredible.
Has. And you want to know what? He's the best guy ever. Like,
is he?
He's in Magaluf.
Genuinely, because he does seem like I've met interviewing that.
We're in Magaluf, and the lads are like, you didn't even ken Andy Robertson, you know, like the shit patter after Champions League final. I was like, I'll mess from the new then. Please fucking message back. Snapchatted them all the boys in MAGA. Swear to God, mate, 10:15 at night, Snapchat saw the lads back. Saying cheers, mate. And you want to know what you said as well? I wouldn't have got here without all the lads at United. I'm thinking you're lying, bastard.
See, when you're watching them playing the Champions League final, though, is it a bit surreal? Like, do you think that could have been me?
Nah, I'd never think it could have been me. But it's just like you just like buzz for him because you know how good he was. And see what as well? you love people like that when they're good guys as well. Uh-huh. Like, not just good footballers, like good guys as well.
It's quite amazing. It's quite the opposite when you get a wank that makes it. You think, how the fuck's he there? But no, it felt like that guy. The amount of praise he gets, he deserves everything. He gets, brilliant.
Brilliant story with old Snapchat. Eh? Leaving Tannadice, how did it come about?
Obviously, I went on loan a couple of times. I went on loan to Kelly and then I went on loan to Ross County. And then just got a letter when my deal was coming to an end. Got a letter through the door. Like, you're no contacts, so no getting around. I come for a guy as well that I'd never even heard of.
It's made up later, wasn't it?
And then anyway, the season's not even finished yet. I'm still up in Inverness at Ross County. Come up on my phone, Jackie McNamara, and I'm thinking, answer this, put on my loudspeaker. He's like, Midge, just wanted to give you the phone call to let you know that your contract's not getting renewed and that. I was like, Jackie, what are you on? I was like, I got a letter 2 weeks ago.
And he never knew about the letter?
Well, I think he did, because I don't know if he didn't want to tell me that. But anyway, the phone call was like terrible. We ended up being on the phone for about 10 minutes, and he was just like, you could have maybe done this and done that. And I was like, well, you never gave us a chance. Like, you banished me to the like reserves and that. No, I never. I must have thought I was recording them or something. Uh-huh. I had to say to him, I was like, Jack, I'm not recording you or that. I'm just like trying to get it out in the open, like, hey, a man-to-man conversation. Anyway, the phone call didn't end great. But we're in Magaluf there, and me, Keith Watson, and Brian Graham, who obviously got binned off him, can only went and sent him a picture, didn't they? Same champs. And he was brilliant, to be fair. He messaged back saying, brilliant, Midge, delighted for you.
Oh, great.
So it was
there
good.
You go.
Still Jack, about him. Still Celtic legend, Jack McNamara.
We've had him on as well. He's brilliant on brilliant, here. He was great on here. 2016 League Cup at Ross County. Proudest moment of your Ross County career?
Probably. It was just one of the days it was meant to be. It was my daughter's birthday. I think she was two. She was two or three.
Right. Surely you didn't have a lot of age shows.
She was two. It was her second birthday, like, that day. And then obviously I scored the first goal and set up the winner, like, fucking dreams, wasn't it? Stuff of dreams, mate. But the game was weird. Like, we got battered first half. But Jimmy Mack was good, like, at like setting up his team. And I think when we went 3-5-2, like, I'm a 10 and I'm playing right wing back, but you just do it.
For the team.
But it worked. We got lucky, we went 1-0 up, and then fought kind of killed it. It was actually Liam Fontaine that scored for them.
Oh, was it for him, your mate? Huh?
You're thinking he's just going to score a header. He's half volley, like, through the edge of the box. It was a rasper. So it goes in, and it was just a belief chat. Like, you need to believe. Because the first half, it was like we didn't. And then we went out, second half, it was quite even. And then we scored, like, the last kick of the ball, didn't we? I'm thinking, I've got extra time in the locker here. Picked the ball up for their corner, ran the full length of the pitch, crossed it in. Big Fonts has made a mistake, isn't he? And Shulk has put it into an empty goal. And then Fonts nearly scored. They went up the pitch, he had an overhead kick. Their keepers tipped it over the bar. And then we defended the corners, win.
How was it meant on the dressing room after?
It was amazing. It was amazing. Like, because like, you're playing Hibs. Hibs a massive team. And we were Ross County's like underdogs and that. It was just brilliant. Everybody's just gone mental.
Do you use that up there that people like, oh, but you're always underdogs and people hate going up to Ross County?
No, so much under the new management team. They're not really about that. They're just like, it's just always belief in that, like with that chat with Jimmy Mack. But in the dressing room after it, you can imagine, it was mental, man.
You talk about like going up to Ross County and everybody hates going to, like, going up to Ross County, going up to Peterhead, going up to Elgin, and see England. Like, every weekend, when I lived in Sunderland, we would say, right, we're playing Charlton this week. We'd set off on a Friday at 12 o'clock and take 6 hours Friday to get down there on the bus.
Get stuck in that Friday traffic.
Spaghetti junction at Birmingham, and you're thinking, like, we've got a game tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but up here in Scotland, bemoaning they need to travel 2 hours to Aberdeen. Oh, you know what I mean?
It's incredible.
Did you just go back like up there for a party after it?
Mate, it was mental. It was crap because we had a game on the Tuesday or Wednesday. We had a midweek game, didn't we? So I think a few of the lads like the reprobates, like Ian McShane and that, I think they went out and the lads that didn't like bother.
But
I went back to Dundee with the family, went to a restaurant, couple of pints, meal. So professional.
Oh, man, that doesn't sound you're talking snail.
We had the game midweek, and I think we won it, but I think we had a night out after that.
It was brilliant. Another game that I thought you were brilliant in was semi final against Celtic.
That cup, that was brilliant.
Did you feel like you had a point to prove it?
You always do, because we beat Celtic as well in the 2010 when we got to the Scottish Cup final, and that was Lenny was the manager then, and we beat them then, convincingly as well. And Lenny was brilliant after that, shooting my hand after the game and that. But I think obviously like when you like get punted 13, probably even though it was main fault, you always feel when you play against them like you've got a point to prove. But I think I enjoyed that more. I think I enjoyed the semi final more than the final.
Did you?
For some reason, I don't know why. Like Celtic went 1-0 up early doors, but then got a man sent off. So you're thinking you've got a chance. And then we got a penalty, Martin Woods scored it. And then
Martin Woods, there's a blast.
I think we ended up winning 3-1. Al Schalk scored a peach. Yeah. But it was just, I enjoyed that more than I enjoyed the final for some reason.
Do you ever go back and play against a former club? Yeah.
When I went to Coventry, I came back to play against Sunderland, and I'd only one thing on my mind was to do the left back, because he was a twat when I was there, and I thought, well, I'll get a chance. And I think I got to like the 92nd minute, and he's left back. He's pulled onto the left foot, went to like take it up the line, and I'm chasing him down. I thought, fuck it.
Striker's challenge.
Absolutely floored them. I was buzzing with that. I was like, pure fucking getting that goal. Did you play against anybody else? Kilmarnock, Hearts. Hearts played against Kilmarnock for Hearts.
What was that like? Because obviously you loved your time at Hearts and you were.
I didn't mind because Kilmarnock fans, I had a great time at Kilmarnock, and it was a really, really, it was a great time, but I'd no remorse. I never wanted to try and do anything differently, you know what I mean? But no.
Did you get a good reception for the Hearts fans in your back?
It was all right.
Right, Jim McIntyre, how much do you love him? Probably played your best football of your career under him.
It was good. See, when he first came in, it was terrible because I was like, you know, that position that's not there anymore, like a 10. Okay, I was always like a kind of floaty off the front. And I played that at Kilmarnock with Chris Boyd, just played off him. And Jim McIntyre came in, played me right mid against Hibs in the Cup. But we were SPL at the time, Hibs were Championship,
right.
So obviously we were kind of expected to win, and I was shocking, played right mid, just like no right mid kind of thing, and he just like worked on it, and then ever since then I've played left or right, but I got him well, he was good for me, and that's what he always says, you were good for me, and I was good for him, but it was good, him and Billy Dodge, brilliant, best ever at like making tea, milk tea. Just hated me on Snapchat. Dodo, mum too bad.
Oh, brilliant.
It's lazy get as well. Like obviously at lunch and that, you wouldn't have like, you know how like if you're plating, you've got your cup, you just go and put it down, go back and get your yogurt and that. Nah, everything in one go. So he's got his plate here, his yogurt. And you want to know? He just did this with his paper cup. Walk up, put it at the end of his cup, so he wouldn't need to go back. Walk up.
Who was your favourite manager, Kev?
The Jet was for different reasons. I liked the Jet because I had the respect of him and he respected me. So although we would fight all the time, we would kiss up and make up every day. He would be the go-to guy. He would come to me to find out what the team was feeling. And I would go to him when the boys are nudging me like, Kev, see if we can get the Jet to get us a day off on Monday or something. And I'd be like, late with me. And I'm like, Gaffer, boys are tired. Like, only chance of maybe Monday off. I'll tell you what I'll do, and then he would come back to me. But so we're doing like counter offers back and forth to try and get. But I did like the Jet, like somebody who like invited to my wedding.
Did you?
Aye, no, he never came, but he did send a lovely present. So
what was it?
It was like some kind of like vase type thing. So yeah,
sounds rubbish.
I was looking for £50 in a care. I
thought put money in a care.
Was Martin Taylor your favourite image?
Manager. He was good. He was brilliant.
Was Owen Coyle though, no?
Owen Coyle was good.
You gave him a bit, didn't you?
I gave him a bit, aye. I was telling you before we started, just like, we just got relegated. Heat of the moment, said a few bad things, but everybody does that, the cakes and fizzy juice and that. But we didn't do enough shape and stuff like that, and we went down. So, Jimmy Mack was good, but I don't know, Gordon Strachan, like best coach, like for actual coaching.
Enjoying it.
Like he was turning me into centre mid at Celtic, just with coaching.
That's
and
where
that.
You played against Leeds, wasn't it?
He was just brilliant. His coaching and his just like philosophy of football and that was brilliant.
You see the two boys you've got now are really good coaches.
Ketts and Fergie are really good. They're just like obviously I think Ketts is Fergie's obviously got like his pro like his UEFA pro thing. Ketts is doing it just now. Training that's brilliant. Every day, like different passing drills and all that, like you're not getting fed up and that. You know what lads are like, you know, same passing drill every Thursday.
The same
man,
UEFA B license, but everybody's got the same drills and that.
So it's fresh, training's fresh, like it's a great dressing room, great bunch of lads.
Think they two got a chance of maybe potentially moving on in future?
I don't know, like, how, obviously, with the co-manager.
How that would work.
Did there know a co-manager with Aberdeen many years ago?
I can't remember. Sure. I remember Liverpool had it. Roy Evans and Julia were joint managers.
It's not like Jockey Scott and somebody...
You love Jockey. What's your thing with Jockey Scott?
No, I'm just trying to think, remember. Trying to give him a mention. He takes me to give him a mention. No, no. I'm my best Jockey.
Aye, so I don't know. I think as long as they keep doing well, you never know what could happen from there.
You said as you got older, you calmed down a bit, but that Ross County dressing room was also wild. What was your story with the bubble wrap?
Yeah, the bubble wrap. To be fair, that was early. That was my first season alone for Celtic.
Oh, so you were still mental?
Aye, so I was still mental. But went up, Scott Leach was the manager, George Adams was like running the show for God knows where. We had an idea
for
one day.
Fidel's bedroom.
We had an idea one day, we'll go up the office and we'll get me on, like, taping that. So we went upstairs. Tape me up, found some bubble wrap for somewhere, bubble wrap me up and then tape me up again.
Your full body?
To like my ankles, here. So the plan was, we'll go to the manager's office, like the lads would knock on the door and just leave me there. And I would just be standing like that and he would be like, what the fuck? But anyway, there's a big corridor to go up to the manager's office. So I'm like a penguin, like my feet, you can't really move your feet. Craig Sampson's just done that. Honestly, he's just touched my back. My feet have just started going like that, mate. For about 10 steps, and I've just went like that, bang, right off the right. It was like carpet, but solid underneath it. Half of my skin off, chipped my tooth, broken tooth. The lads are like all laughing and that until I like rolled over, mate. Rolled over, and they've seen the state of my face, and they're just like, oh shit. Anyway, had to go and tell the they're pure ripping all the stuff off us, up to the manager's office. What the fuck's happened to him? It was like Craig Sampson, Andrew Dowie, Sean Higgins, Don Cowie. So the gaffer's going through them. He's out of order, like a week's wages. I'm not having this here, blah, blah. And then Craig Sampson's just done that gaffer, like, it was Midge's idea. Scott Leach has just stood up and he's went, get the fuck out of my office, every one of you. I'm out half a skin hanging off and that, mate.
Brilliant, but you and Leachy had a love hate as well, didn't you? Did you know smash him in training?
Me and Leachy had a love hate. Just a couple of, like, he would, like, I was just starting all the time that, but every now and again he'd just, like, take me out. It's like, remember your place, your place set up, you're at Ross County New kind of thing. And he hugged me on the bench one game. No, he actually named me on the bench and then put me in the stand. So I was in the stand, so I had a wee bit of head loss and that. And we're in training, so Leach used to take part. And it was like wee five-a-sides or something. I was like, I'm smashing him today. Kind of like years ago. I was like, I'm smashing him today. Anyway, remember he had that bad Achilles injury?
Right,
it still kind of harmed him a wee bit. So anyway, he's running and he's like, Nade, you can get near me, bang, from behind, scissor, 2 foot, mate.
To the gaffer.
2 foot to the manager, Scott Leach.
But he was hard Leach, wasn't he?
He's bounced up, mate. And like, I was like, kind of, oh, like, sorry, and that. He's just came for me, eh? Started running at me, the manager. I'm just running away, mate. I've took off. Anyway. So I come back into the wee five-a-sides, the rest of training, he's just like hanging about me, waiting on me getting the ball. So I'm getting the ball and I'm just like, way, like, passing it away. Anytime he comes near me, I'm just running away. He was fuming, was he? Absolutely fuming.
Well, do you any manager that joined in, Kev, training?
Mick McCarthy joined in a few times.
So would you be playing up against him? Would you be centre forward? Aye,
pure solid big Mick. I would hate to play against Mick when he was in full flow. Like.
Aye.
And Mick used to be easily pre-season. And Mick loved boxing, like he loved partaking in the boxing. So we had like 12 bags in a square. So we used to do a drill where like it would be 2 minutes on the pads and or the punch bags and then 2 minutes doing sit-ups. So it was two on, two off, that was your breather. So like there was all different sorts of bags. There was like a speedball, there was like the mitts, there was the big bag, there was everything.
Class.
So Mick would hod the bag like this, right? So, and then they were, come on, Kyla, come on. So I'd go and act like, just keep rapping it, right? And then I thought, fuck, I'm going to hit him, right? And I just thought, I went, bam, and I hit the gaffer, right?
Did you?
I just thought, I'm going to hit him for a laugh. So I went, oh, no, gaffer. And then he just went, right, you're in the office. Right? And I was like, I was only joking, gaffer. He's like, no, no, in the office now. So like, he started, took the gloves off, like, chucked them down, started walking. We got to the door and he went, ah!
He's
fucking dope, honestly.
He's been brilliant. See his press conference out recently by Ireland.
The man
the
other day,
brilliant.
The bus.
Can you get it to stop moving?
The bus broke down. Can you elaborate? Just stop moving.
See, manager joined in, mate. We had obviously the canyon, he would do shooting drills. And he would always demo, mate. So, see his demo, it'd be unreal. Like, he would do like left foot, right foot, top bins. And every time it happened, he'd go and stand at the side and we'd start, mate, and there'd be boys all over the fucking bushes. Boys kicking boys all over the place and he'd be like, fuck, mamma mia!
See, when I was living with Rafa De Vita, he spoke about them.
He loves the Decanio
stories. And he would always be like, Decanio would obviously date the demo and that, and he'd be at the side and be like, oh, Adam Maroney!
He's played in the championship! We get him from the championship! Yeah, Kane, big rounds, man, brilliant. What's your aim for next year, Image?
Obviously, everybody's going to say to like stay up and that, obviously, but for me personally, I just want to play like 33 now in our crack at the SPL. I hope Lustig doesn't leave because I love turning him inside out. Like. hopefully we stay up and we could kick on and have a good season.
You've got a good chance, surely, with some of the way the teams performed last year.
Aye.
Your Hamilton's, like, Livingston probably overachieved, I think. They're going to lose a few good players. So who they bring in, I think Ross County will do all right.
There you go. So top six?
We're going a bit too far. Come on.
Top eight.
Aye, top eight.
You'll take top eight?
Aye, we're going top.
And what about plans for after playing?
After playing? Big Kev's been on to me, start the taxi business.
I'm a dingo.
I'm going to do open goal taxi rides. Phone me or Midge.
What about coaching or that now?
I think I might try and get into the coaching there, because Fergie and Ketts, I'll probably get someone up there, seeing as I'm a bit of a legend and that, so...
Because a few of the boys now take the reserves in the 18s.
Don Cowie and Liam Fontaine, they're doing 18s now. I think Don's got his A licence and Fonts has been doing it this summer.
Right.
So they've been in charge of the 18s and that. But it's solid, because they're obviously playing as well. And then the season there, so they're playing and then they're training with them in the afternoon and then they've got games on Sundays and all that. It's proper hard work.
He's played with Ross County that length of time over so many spells, and now they'll try and look to get him into their youth setup.
Great, innit?
And it's like he's Mother now feeding the youth or the next future all about the Ross County way, what it's like to play for Ross County, where there's too many people coming from the middle of nowhere that haven't experienced what he's experienced and try to tell the future of kids. Keeping players with it, because we can all, if I gave somebody a book or 1,000 drills, by the end of the week if they studied it, they could go and take a training session.
Mm.
Whereas, see, when you have that actual experience of being in the thick end of the football, I think that's invaluable to young players these days.
What a point to end on, lads. Been a pleasure. Oh, yeah. Thanks very much.
Super.
Thank you, mate.